listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. Four games tonight in the NBA playoffs. Thunder Blazers, the last one. Spurs Nuggets, Nets Sixers, Magic Raptors. In case you're interested to check that out, on the college baseball diamond. Got Nicholls and Jackson State. Colonels on the road. And then, of course, LSU taking on Lamar. Glenn Gilbo will talk a little bit about the Tigers at 2:30. And Tulane and Southeastern.
Line up.
There we go. I was waiting for you. It's coming up later this evening in Uptown New Orleans. Tulane hosting them. The voice of the wave, Ty Graffanini, will chime in at 1:30. 1:15, touch them all, Timmy Grubbs. Major League Baseball storylines. Also, Minor League Baseball. We'll chat a little bit about that as the baby cakes are well underway into the season. Jordan, the intern, do you know? The Cubbies host tonight in Chicago.
I don't know, they're going to lose again because every time I keep track of them, they're always down.
Yeah. Coming up tonight, 7:05. Graffanini's Dodgers taking on my Cubbies.
I might have to switch bandwagon.
Switch what? Better not jump off this bandwagon. That's terrible. Can't believe you'd even think about doing that. Where's your loyalty? You have no loyalty, do you? Of course you don't. One of the things that we were talking about yesterday, of course, with Mickey Loomis, and he spoke yesterday leading into the draft, is the whole decision and notion of moving up, moving back. And the Saints really haven't been a team that's traded backwards. They've always been a team that's been aggressive and traded up, traded into that next round. Trying to get more draft picks to populate that second, third, fourth round. So what do you have to say about trading back? And there's a reason I play. Let's start here.
Well, I think the notion comes from history, right? I wouldn't say that we'd be open to trading back to get, if the timing's right and if the value's right, but it just hasn't happened very often.
Exactly. Look, here's the thing. They really haven't done that. They've always been a team that's the front. Jeff Ireland, famously, I'm going to say two Senior Bowls ago, told the media that was doing the little, Q&A with them, that in his first year in the draft, in the room with Sean and Mickey, it was like people caffeinated on cups of coffee here. They wanted to trade everything. Wanted to trade up. Wanted to trade here. Wanted to trade trade everywhere. It's like, whoa, settle down. So they're that. I think they're just aggressive in nature to go and do it. Last year, moved up for Davenport. When we saw that trade move up, do you remember during the draft show, Jordan, we thought, aha, Lamar Jackson. It was Marcus Davenport. Again, we've been talking about, do they move into that first round? I just don't see it. It doesn't make a lot of sense for me. You look at assets, you look at what they can do. Deuce Swindon of The Athletic even said today, he does think that a trade can happen. Right? But is it into the first round? Again, where would you put it between 1 and 10? And again, we're getting closer. Does the team wait all the way to 62? It's the 30th pick of the second round. Remember, 32 picks per round. It's second to last in the second round. Can they wait that long? I think the price is going to be too steep to go into the first round. Can I see them moving into the second a little higher? Especially if there's somebody they like. And I guess that's the interesting aspect of this. Who is it that it would be that they like so much? Start to see more and more predictions for quarterbacks being taken. It looks like Will Greer, who was projected to be upper second, and I know John 4K is going to talk a lot about this on Friday, our Sports Hangover Draft Special, 6 to 10 at Hooters in Metairie on Vets. You're going to hear a lot that day about Will Greer if he hadn't been selected. I can promise you. We'll have to pot his mic down because he loves him some Will Greer from West Virginia. Could it be quarterback? Could it be receiver? Jordan, that this team looks at, because I guess here's the first part of the criteria. If you're going to move in the first round, what's the criteria? He better be somebody that can impact the team right now and absolutely help your chance to do what, Jordan? And it's not win. It's to do what?
Win a Super Bowl.
Win a Super Bowl, correct. Normally the draft is, can you help me win? On top of that, the higher end picks is foundational pieces, building blocks, star, all pro, things of that nature. A team that already has a playoff roster, for you to move up, that player better sort of be like that. I think the Saints sort of looked at Marcus Davenport to do that. Now, could it be year two that he does it? Year one, battled with injuries. I know Sean Payton is excited to see what Davenport can do. This is what Loomis said yesterday on Davenport.
Yeah, look, I think that he's made progress, and you know he had a couple health things that slowed him down a little bit, but we like Marcus, and we're looking for big things from him.
Better be. I don't mean that in a bad way, right? But I mean, it's we've always said this when it comes to money, position, title, expectations absolutely apply to that. Your title, how much money you make, and how you're viewed. That's just a fact. Fair or not fair. But when you move up, pass on some players that, you know, perhaps some fans kind of look at and would have liked. And again, I don't know, good Lamar Jackson's going to be. Became the starter, though, and they traded Joe Flacco in Baltimore. It's his team now. Passed him up. Jair Alexander, I would have loved him. Packers took him. Started, was there one of the best, if not best, cornerback last year. Would have been great opposite of Marshawn Lattimore. Instead, he had to go in the season and save your season by going in trade for Eli Apple. Again, these are just facts. It's not Marcus Davenport's fault. The Saints moved up using this year's first round draft pick. I get that. But it's going to be tied to that. So as Mickey Loomis says, we expect big things. He better. He gave up some positions and some starters that you could have used last year. Gus, we couldn't have used Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that, but if this is Drew's last year, right? I would have loved Jair Alexander. I think would have made a lot of sense. But they didn't. Look, defensive end. And obviously, pass rush, huge need. Don't just look at what the Saints are doing. Look at the mock drafts that have the Falcons, the Bucks, the Panthers. Man, it's pick after pick. That's D-line, D-end, linebacker with the Bucks, Devin White. Defense the key because it's an offensive league right now. Got to somehow stop these offenses. So, it's interesting because we talked with Deuce Windham in hour one where you sit there and go, hey, I could see the Saints going O-line. You better, if teams in your division are stocking up, Tyler Davidson now a Falcon. I get it. Look, he won a star in New Orleans, but they got him. Teams are stocking up D-line. I mean, I saw Ed Oliver. If he falls, Falcons grab him. Giants this week. Well, this weekend, there was a report that the Giants called him an alien because of his physical attributes. I don't know if I want an alien coming after Drew Brees or Alvin Kamara. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, the more I think about it, it's not the sexy thing to do. I get it. I get it. It's not the sexy thing to do. Pick an offensive lineman. All right, Brian, here you go. Your pat on the back. We'll pat Brian on the back. Ryan Ramczyk selected. Now, when you got to be kidding me. Reuben Foster's right there. Right? We all thought Reuben Foster was going to be the draft pick.
Thank God he wasn't.
I agree with you 100%. But that day, I looked at Brian. I'm like, what did he do? And he's like, select the new starting right tackle for the next 10 years. I'm like, he got Zach Strieff. Also, how that happened. Now give him credit. Look, here it is. There's your pat on the back. But he's right. Again, we went through Deuce Windham's top 10, and Larry Holder, The Athletic, is writing a column that could be out in a little bit. Top 10 Saints draft picks in the Peyton Loomis era. He has Jordan Evans, Thomas, Kamara, Nix, Colston, Graham, Ingram, Armstead, Morstead in his top 10. Evans, Nix, Armstead, three of the 10 are offensive linemen. Honorable mention, Ramczyk, Bushrod, Strieff. So out of 14 players that he mentioned, six, almost half, he's saying offensive line. So we get closer to Friday. It's good. Look, I got it, man. I hear you. Metcalf. This receiver, that receiver. Paris Campbell from Ohio State. Bring in another Buckeye. I get it. Receiver sexy. Score points. Awesome. Rush the passer. Who doesn't need that? You know me. I want a linebacking core that reminded me of what I saw in two games last year. How they can still dominate in this game, and yet they're different the way the linebackers are now. Carolina, Thomas Davis, and Keke Lee went bananas. Remember that? Didn't they have like 12 and 13 tackles combined? I mean, not combined. A piece. It was ridiculous. The Cowboys game. Remember the Cowboys? Two top middle linebackers. They were making plays everywhere. DeMario Davis made some plays. I would love to see that upgraded. That's just me. I personally like good linebackers. I think it absolutely makes a huge difference. But man, the more I think about it, this team really needs to look at an offensive lineman. Again, I'm not saying it Will Clapper, Cameron Tom aren't that. They weren't selected at the top of the draft. And I understand. Colston, Moore, I get it. I do. The Saints, for a while, did a lot with low-end draft picks. And then what they do, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Traquan Smith, they're drafting high for receiver. Look, I get it. Every now and then you can find diamonds in the rough. There's reason some players are rated and selected higher than others. That's just a fact. That's why I think there is going to be a trade. And I think the Saints get into the third, if not the fourth, if not another second round pick, to try and get an offensive lineman. You want to throw in a pass rusher in there. I agree. That's kind of where I'm leaning. I'm not going to be shocked if Friday it's receiver. I get it. I understand it. I just think if I had to put receiver, pass rusher, offensive lineman, receiver three on that list for me. Offensive lineman's one for me. The Saints offense was night and day, beginning, middle, end of the season. It just, you saw it. When the O-line couldn't practice. Remember those injury reports? Wednesdays was like the offensive lineman's day off. Half of them DNP'd. Thursday, limited. Friday, limited. You went, uh-oh. And for many, that was their first day of practice. And what you see with the offense? Just not the same. So look, you can give me whatever receiver you want. You can give me, you know, running back, tight end. Great. If you don't have a line, when other teams in your division are drafting potential pretty good defense. I mean, imagine if the Falcons do get Ed Oliver and the Buccaneers get Devin White. Those are two guys that can come in and absolutely make a difference this September on their defense. What are you doing on offensive line? Better hope they're healthy. They're healthy? We're good. Let's go. Let's get on the field. Let's see who's better with you. Better hope they're healthy, though. The problem is, you look at that line, how deep are they? Again, right now, your backups, your depth is Cameron Tom, Will Clapp, essentially. I just think you can upgrade there. That's all. I know you brought in Easton. You're hoping that he can win the role at center. Larry Warfer, he's due up for a deal. Pete, due up for a deal. That's going to be interesting. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll talk with Tim Grubbs, a little Major League and Minor League Baseball chatter. Ty Graffanini, bottom of the hour, is the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Napa Know How.
It's Love Your Car Month at Napa. And to show your car the love, get a Napa bucket for $2.99 and save 20% on almost everything you can fit inside. So save some cash and get 20% off with a Napa bucket. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. Minimum three items may not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 4/30/19.
Rogers Parts with locations in Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is Tuesday, which can only mean one thing. It's the day after Monday and the day before Wednesday. So a couple of things. No, it's Tuesday, and we'd like to talk to Tim Grubbs, voice of your New Orleans Baby Cakes. Tim, how are you, bud?
Oh, I'm doing great. We got a little off day. Heading to Texas a little later today, and the ball club's playing well. We've won five of the last seven. So, yeah, it's a good day. I'm in a good mood.
There it is. Jordan, the intern, will tell you it's because I did not get to throw out a first pitch.
Exactly.
I'd like to think. When you look at it, it's really the only day that's really marred so far everything.
Yeah, you know, you and I talked last Tuesday, and we looked at that forecast, and it was ugly. and I didn't think we had any chance of playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what the best part about it was, when did I call you? I called you before you went on air, so
yes.
It was about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think we're going to play tonight. There's no reason for you and Carver to come out and sit around and wait. Yeah. Let's just bang it.
You called me back. You called me back from the bullpen. You said, come sit back on the dugout. We're going to wait out. And I did. And then what happened?
And then after you and I got off the phone, the weather forecast just started changing and changing and changing. And sure enough, even though all the kids got sent home from school, everybody went home early from work, we played baseball that night with no issues.
No issues whatsoever. It's beautiful.
Opposite
yeah.
of El Gato Negro. It's just yeah. like the bizarro effect.
Yeah. Well, here's the beauty of it, because you played a doubleheader on Wednesday. You lost the last game, won the early game. So you lost the last game. I got banged, and I'm out. You win. The very next day, you lose. So, I mean, basically, me not being a part of the ball club got you the win sandwiched between losses.
Probably. You know, I mean, who knows? I just was dying when I called you to cancel the first pitch. And then sure enough, like 2 hours later, I was like, we're going to play. Like, this rain is going to be a nothing. This is a no event. Like, why are these people going home?
Yeah. Oh, no, no. It was the apocalypse. They predicted the apocalypse last Thursday. Believe me, people were building, arcs and stuff. And it was like a drizzle. I mean, for like 30 minutes, and that was it.
Right.
Anyway, look, precaution, it is what it is. But you mentioned one of the good things about it is this team continues to win. You guys are about to go on the road to play the dreaded Round Rock Express for 5 and then come home and play the even more dreaded Memphis Redbirds. But before that, look, you got the day off, as you mentioned, and you're winning, and you're scoring some points. So would I be wrong in saying one of the early storylines for you guys is offense so far this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, if you last Tuesday, I think we talked about we didn't score a lot. You know, our starting pitching was great. The offense hadn't really done a ton, and the bullpen we've had some leaks out in the bullpen. It's been struggled. But you know what? All of a sudden, the first 2 weeks of the season, up until last week, it seemed like we played every other day. We had a lot of cancellations due to cold weather up north when we played in Iowa and Omaha. We had a rain out here, and it just, I don't think the team caught any rhythm. You know, you weren't in your normal routine of playing every day, and all of a sudden, we've got home, and since last Wednesday, we've played every day, and the offense has caught fire, especially late. This is a team that's scoring a lot of runs against the opposing bullpens. We're picking up a lot of runs in the 6th, 7th, and 8th innings, which just burying teams. You know, we had a 2-0 lead the other day heading into the bottom of the 6th, and you feel pretty good, but at the same time, it's 2-0. Anything can happen. And before you knew it, it was 10-0 as they just piled on 4 different relievers. So, they're getting key hits at the right time, and hey, everybody seems to be having fun. It's contagious. We've lost a few guys to the Marlins. We've got a few guys back, and that's Triple-A baseball, and that's what you expect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the things that I guess you look at here as well with what the Marlins are trying to do and build up their minor league system, who's standing out to you right now that you can look at and go, hey, look, this is somebody that they wanted to see kind of progress and is having so far a pretty good start to the season?
Well, the guy that, they wanted to see progress, and I have no idea how long his timeline is here. Especially the way he's swinging the bat, would be Monty Harrison. I mean, he's a guy that was in the Christian Yelich trade. He's the younger brother of Shaq Harrison, who plays for the Chicago Bulls. He's a freak. I mean, this guy can play any sport. You look at him, you could throw him next door at the Saints or Pelicans, and I think when the players walk out, I don't think he'll look any different.
Wow.
And he is fast. When he hits the ball, it is coming off the bat. I mean, every time. The one really cool thing is this exit velocity. I mean, I know you guys see it when you watch major league games. We have it now in the press box, and it's really cool when you see a guy like that come up the bat, because even some of his hard shots, he had a line drive last night to shortstop. It was 104 mile an hour off the bat. Hit a home run the other day. It was like 114. He's hitting, he's just hitting all over the place, and he's a tremendous athlete that can really run baseballs down out there in center field.
Wow, no doubt about it. All right, well, Tim, as always, man, we will continue to keep our eye over on the Baby Cakes. Five straight starting tomorrow at Round Rock, and then you come in and you host the Memphis Redbirds, and boom, we're into the month of May. So that leads us to Major League Baseball talk. You got a month in already. Normally I like to start with my team stuff, but I actually think the story so far in the first month of the season is who El Gato Negro, the New York Yankees? I mean, what is it, 13, 15 players on injured reserve? Wow.
13 guys on the injured list. And we're not talking, guys that you wouldn't hear of. I mean, it's Aaron Judge, who's down for at least a month, maybe two.
Wow.
I guess they haven't really disclosed.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't disclosed how severe that is. Giancarlo Stanton is down. Jacoby Ellsbury's down. I mean, you're talking about like a long laundry list of some really good players. And, fortunately for New York, they've got some depth, but they're in a very good division. The Red Sox have gotten a little better. They swept Tampa over the weekend after being buried early. And, this could be enough to, you would hate to say doom them in April or May, but, you have this many injuries, it's going to make life difficult.
Look, it's early, and you really haven't played an entire first month just yet. You're getting to that point, but you scroll through the standings, and the one thing that stands out to me, you haven't seen really separation, right? I mean, in the AL, yeah, I get it. Baltimore's the furthest back, along with KC at 7.5. Their Angels are 6. But in the NL, 6 with the Marlins, 4.5 and 5.5. Reds and Giants, those are all the last place teams in their divisions. But for the most part, you got a lot of jumbling. When do you normally see separation, Tim? Is it May?
It's usually middle of May. You know what I mean? You always want to be still in the race on Memorial Day. You know what I mean? You'd hate to be. You don't win divisions in April. You don't win divisions in May, but you certainly can lose them. You know what I mean? You find yourself 8 teams back, on Memorial Day. It's not impossible, and teams have done it, but it certainly makes for a very uphill climb in the second half of the season for you to be able to do it. So, yeah, you'll start seeing some separation. The schedule's quirky. A lot of the same teams play each other. What I mean? I think the Nationals and Phillies have already played each other like, 8 times already this season. And I mean? There's just weird things like that they play a lot of head-to-head. You haven't seen too many teams yet. So that's where I think the separation starts, when you start playing other teams and everybody starts teams get streaky one way or another, and that's where it happens. You mentioned the Baltimores and the Kansas Cities and the Miamis. They're not going to be talking about winning divisions with those cities. It's just a matter of, how far back they will end up being come October.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at the rest of the American League. The Twins have won 7 of their last 10 in first place up there in the Central. Should we be thinking that maybe they can be a team that can give the Indians a run?
I think so. I think the Twins, obviously Cleveland, they've had a series of injuries. We talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. Cleveland needed to survive April. Just don't bury yourself. Don't fall too far behind. Minnesota's good. I mean, Minnesota's not going to run away with anything. So as long as Cleveland doesn't fall too far behind, I think Cleveland's still the team to beat in the Central. But Minnesota may hang around all year.
Yeah, it's interesting to kind of look at that season or that team already early on. Again, it's early. And you get it. But, Joey, you might have a little competition over there. Out west, Mariners still in first. I kind of feel like we're talking about it like that every Tuesday. It's still there. And they've gone 3-7 in their last 10. What's their biggest issue right now?
Oh, they got beat up by Houston, a red-hot Astros team. I think they ran into a buzzsaw. And that's why you can't look at April too much, because we know the Astros are good. And we knew Houston would overcome them eventually. Well, they ran into them on a given weekend, and they just got thumped. It just happened. That's what it's all about. There's win streaks and losing streaks. And Seattle hung in there for a long time last year. They don't have a ton of depth, but I think Seattle could certainly make things interesting in the AL West.
I'm not going to say I told you so or anything from that nature. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But, Trout signs the big deal. We're all sitting there going, I don't get it. Angels, man, they're down there. I'm just trying to look. I saw a couple of games that play with the Cubs. It's one of those things. I just wonder why you sign the deal that you do with the players that you do. It's not a very good ball club.
No, and the farm system's not good at all. So there's no help coming. you know, I see the Angels farm system in, you know, in our league, and it's just not much there. They don't have much pitching. They don't have a whole lot of other players to put around them. I kind of admire him for doing it. You know, I mean, it is somewhat of a big market. You know, it's hard to say the Angels are not a big market team, but they are the secondary team in Los Angeles or in Southern California. But I admire the signing with the team that drafted you and coming up, but at the same time, I mean, if the guy wants to win championships, it's going to happen in the latter part of his career, because they're a long ways away from being able to really contend, and that's sad, you know. But I'm happy for him, and hopefully he loved life there. I mean, maybe he looked at the picture. I always thought he would end up in Philadelphia, but maybe he thought, you know what, if I go to Philly, the focus is going to be on me just a little bit too much, and maybe I'm not going to enjoy life.
Look, I'm not ever going to say somebody made the wrong decision to get $300-plus million and live in L.A., and it doesn't matter if you win a championship or not. That's kind of the best thing, best of both worlds, right? So,
you know what, I think somebody on Baseball Tonight, or I mean on MLB Network, or said something along the lines of, you know, he could probably walk into Lakeside Mall. They didn't say Lakeside Mall, but he could probably walk into Lakeside Mall and go from one end to the other, and zero people recognize who he is.
100% agree. There's no doubt about it. That's why I keep saying baseball people say he's the best player in baseball. And I'm like telling you, no one knows who that guy is unless you follow the sport or even see
Nobody
him.
Nobody knows who he is.
Well, I mean, not just that. I'll ask Jordan, have you seen 5 full games of Mike Trout play in your life?
No.
He said no.
I mean, I'll throw myself under the bus.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen 5 full Mike Trout games.
Bingo. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, I get you're a Pirate fan. I'm a Cub. I understand. But I'm saying 5 full. Because you get what I'm saying? Like, when you're the best player in your sport, people tend to watch. I'm not a Warriors fan or a LeBron fan, but you watch. I mean, you watch those games play, and you just
Absolutely.
Don't.
I mean, yeah. I'm not a Golden State Warrior fan, but it is in triple figures how many Warriors games, how many Steph Curry games I've seen.
Main difference, too, postseason.
That's
what you and I have been talking about. If the Angels were in the playoffs, we would have seen them, and it just hasn't. In the NL, you got the Mets, Phillies, Braves, and Nationals, just a 2-game separation, 1.5 really in the loss column there. So that's going to be a fun and interesting division to kind of keep looking at here already as the first month has gone in. Your Pittsburgh Pirates tied in first place at the St. Louis Cardinals. How about that? Go take a screenshot of it.
Great start. Now I will take a screenshot of it because it's going to be tough for them to hang in there. But hopefully they do. I mean, I told you guys, I think that division from top to bottom is the best division in baseball. Now, Cincinnati, you know, they made some huge moves in the offseason. I don't know how well it's played off yet. They're struggling, but out of the chute. But, hey, they're still right there.
Look at it like this, right? So Pirates, Cards, Brewers, Cubs, Reds is how it stands in the last 10. Pirates, Cards, 6-4. Brewers, 4-6, and they're a good team. Cubs, 7-3, and the dead last team in the division is 5-5. So, no, you know, there you go, to kind of give you an idea of that division. They're all playing pretty decent. Graf's Dodgers, the dreaded L.A. Dodgers, taking on the Cubs tonight to start their series. They're in first place in the West. You know, Graf's all worried. I think they're the best team in the division right now, easy.
They're the best team. The Rockies are pretty good, but they don't score runs. And that's their problem here in April. And, you know, maybe part of the problem is the weather in Denver. You know, I mean, I know they play home and away and getting into the regular schedule. I think in the end, Colorado will make a run of it. San Diego will be interesting. I didn't think the Padres would be good. I still don't think they'll be good. But they're off to a promising start.
There you go. Touch them all, Timmy Grubbs, at Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow over on Twitter. As always, man, we appreciate it when you join us on Tuesdays. Have a safe road trip, and then we'll see you back next week as you start the little brief homestand against Memphis. And then just let me know. Just let me know when you need me there. I'm ready to do a first pitch. I was ready last Thursday.
I am ready now. We're going
to
try for another Cubs game, right?
Yeah, no, whatever. I'm good, whatever. I think it was either that or Memorial Day weekend, I think we're talking about. So whatever. I'm
good. We'll shoot for the next time Iowa's in town, and if that blows up, then we'll just have to figure it out.
I'm good, and just if you don't mind, I might come up in the booth and hang out with you and Ron, and maybe I can El Gato Negro y'all and lock y'all in the booth.
It's happened before.
It has. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, guys. Thanks.
For sure. And Mr. Tim Grubbs, do it to follow him over on Twitter. Quick break. We'll find out what Tulane's doing this evening. Jordan, who are they playing again?
Line up.
It is. Southeastern. Line up. You going tonight?
Probably not.
Going to go support your Southeastern Lions?
Probably not.
No? You have any Southeastern gear?
I have one shirt.
One shirt. There it is, Joey.
That they gave me for free.
No one's a bigger fan of Southeastern University than Jordan the intern. One shirt. Was that the shirt they gave you, like, when you joined?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured. That's what I figured. The welcome aboard shirt.
Welcome aboard.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Come into Firehouse Subs and try the brisket sub, piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub, full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to FirehouseSubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs in Houma or Thibodaux a call for all of your catering needs. Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State Baseball Team the best of luck this season.
Attention, Yards of America. Now you have a holiday too. Toro Days at the Home Depot. With the best prices of the season on the latest Toro push mowers, zero turn mowers, blowers, trimmers, and more. To celebrate, come in now for our lowest prices on any Toro lawnmower or blower. Today is the day for doing. So get outside and enjoy the holiday. Happy Toro Days with the best prices of the season. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offers valid April 18th through May 1st.
The Sports Hangover is live from the 2019 Zurich Classic of New Orleans this Thursday and Friday from 12 to 3. The broadcast is sponsored by State Farm agent Ashley Berrios in Cutoff and Nora Vaden Holmes in Metairie. Tune in 12 to 3 on ESPN New Orleans.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support. Support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ah, I've been looking forward to this all day. Joining the intern, Ty Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave at NT Graff. So way to follow over on Twitter. Todd, how are you this afternoon?
Good, Gus. What's up?
What is the wager? Is it a po' boy? Is it
wager for what?
A dessert, a treat? I mean, what are we wagering on this dreaded series between the Cubs and Dodgers?
The Cubs and Dodgers are playing. I had no idea. Honestly, I was worried about the two. I had no clue.
No clue. Yeah.
Nope.
Well, I guess when you're in first place and you're expected to go back to the World Series, you really don't really worry about a game on April 23rd like I do.
No, I'm not actually. last year, the Dodgers were down 10 games in May and went to the World Series. So what should I care about a game in April?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I hear you. Well, we can still wager something. It'll
give us an opportunity. I'm still DVRing it. I mean, I'm still going to watch it when I get home tonight. let's not go crazy or anything. I'm well aware that the Dodgers and the Cubs are playing tonight, Gus.
All right. Well, let's see who wins the series. It'll be interesting. I do think, and I would love to see us meet once again in the postseason. But that's a long ways away.
No, I don't like that.
I do. I like it. It's fun.
I don't.
Let's talk a little baseball, man, because midweeks. How do we approach this? You're better in the weekend than in midweek games, which is not a bad thing, Todd. It's not a bad thing.
Well,
you got to win series.
I mean, look, All right, hold on, Gus. Now, let's not go crazy. Right. Okay, Tulane had not lost a midweek game the entire season up until the ULL game, which was 4 weeks ago, I believe.
Right.
So that's not, you know, entirely factual. Now, three of the last 4 weeks, yes, it has been a struggle. And two of those games have been against UNO. And one against ULL. Two of those three were walk-offs. Now, the team we're playing tonight is Southeastern. 2 weeks ago in Hammond, of course, won a football game, 15-14.
Right.
But the you know, it's been a struggle in the last month. Let's just say that. And it's really because we just haven't held up our end of the bargain on the pitching side. There's been nothing wrong with the hitting, and I know we'll get into that, but. You know, I don't know what the problem is with Tulane and UNO on the lakefront, but we just cannot seem to solve that equation, and UNO has taken full advantage of it. And you know, that's been two of those three losses. So we'll figure out what happens against Southeastern tonight. But I will say this: we're not playing another midweek road game the rest of the year. So the next 4 weeks on Tuesdays will be at Greerfield Church and Stadium, and. I talked about Tulane has not lost a midweek game at home this year.
Todd, your waiver, 26-13 overall, 8-3 in conference play. We'll talk about the huge weekend coming up this weekend. But you know, just overall, just to touch on the team you mentioned at the offense, it's really remarkable. I mean, you guys are – that is not the problem. That is not the issue as well, and it's led by Cody Hosey. Again, I feel like every time I open up my Gmail, there's a new you know, release from Clyde. Y'all, as a sports information director, saying that he's been named to another watch list. Have you gotten to the point where you're just going, man, this guy's just having one of those seasons where you're just going to remember, it's going to be talked about a lot once he leaves Tulane?
It is. There's no question about it. And we say the same thing every week, but he keeps putting the numbers up. And look, this when the bats changed, you know, in 2012, 2013, we were having seasons, Gus, and I'm not exaggerating. We had 10 home runs in a season. Now, the ball changed a little bit. They lowered the seam, so that has helped. But for the most part, you know, it's still the same bat. And this is just remarkable what he's doing. And the thing about it, the power numbers are there. He's still tied for the national lead in home runs with 20 now. But he's hitting .415. And that's what's getting lost in all of this. When he goes 0-for-3 in a game, Gus, I'm looking at my scorebook going, what in the world is wrong with this kid? I mean, it's that impressive because of his at-bat, the way he approaches things. It's just so rare to see him go hitless in a game. And if he does go hitless in a game, which, again, is you could count on one hand, literally, the amount of times that's happened this year, I wouldn't want to be on the mound the next game because he takes it out on the pitchers who are coming up because of the fact that he did not reach base successfully. So it's just been awesome to watch, as I talked about. But, you know, we mentioned on Coach Jewett's show last night, Cody Hosey is getting all the accolades, but this lineup is as good as I've seen since 2005. And
wow.
when you're hitting .315 as a team, this late in the year, it's not just one guy, Gus. You know, Trevor Jensen is just having a phenomenal year at the top of the lineup, and this is not your typical leadoff guy. In a normal season, he would probably be hitting third or fourth. But when Ty Johnson went down on opening night and we needed a leadoff guy, Coach Jewett said, let's see what this guy can do. Well, all he's doing right now is hitting .360, about 35 runs batted in. His on-base percentage is about .460, .470. He's getting on base for Cody Hosey, and then backing up Cody Hosey is a true freshman in Hudson Haskins, who's hitting .365. I mean, it's just, and those are the top three. I'm not even talking about the other guys. We've hit 65 home runs now. Six more in Memphis, and we only played two games. If we would have played another game, Gus, I think we would have scored 30 runs, and I'm not exaggerating.
Wow.
The way we were swinging the bats at the end, wound up scoring 20 in seven innings on the second game of the doubleheader. But, again, it's getting lost in the shovel because we're just not getting it done on the mound. And You know, last week we scored 38 runs in three games and went 1-2.
I mean, that's incredible.
What are you supposed to do? It's unbelievable. Right. Got to throw strikes. That's the bottom line.
That's what I was going to say, Todd. When you looked at that UNO game, what was it, 13 walks? I remember hearing Blake Dean talk about it. It's like it's tough not to score runs when you're getting that many passes. And that's what leads into this weekend, speaking with Todd Graffanini, a voice of the Tulane Green Wave. ECU 11-1 in conference play. You guys are 8-3. You meet this weekend over there at their place. So is this one of those where if you're Travis Jewett, you're going, look, this what kind of team you want to be here and where it can really set you up to winning the conference in the regular season and helping you get into the postseason? I'm not saying that this is a be-all, end-all type series, but it's a pretty weekend, pretty big weekend series.
Well, it's pretty close to being a be-all, end-all, Gus. It really is, just because Tulane needs the RPI boost that it would take beating East Carolina at Clark LeClaire Stadium, where, by the way, they've won 12 in a row, and they're coming off a weekend sweep of UConn where they just played outstanding baseball. This is the best team we're going to play all year long. There's no doubt about it. They were picked to win the league. They went out to UCLA in their bye week a couple weeks ago, Gus. And UCLA, by the way, is ranked number one in the country. And East Carolina went out there and got swept, but lost by two walk-offs and a 3-0 game. They really easily could have won 2 out of 3 against the top-ranked team in the country. The thing about East Carolina is, yeah, they can hit. They always have been able to hit. But, boy, can they pitch. And that's the difference between the two teams right now. If we get any semblance of pitching, Gus, our lineup can match up with anybody in the country. But the thing is, the walks and the hit batters are really starting to rear its ugly head. And, you know, we were talking about last night again on the show. Opponents are only hitting .240 against Tulane. That's not that great. So when we throw the ball over the plate, we're getting out. But you can't. And you go back to the UNO game, you can't spot a team 8 runs in the first inning and expect to win. You can't spot a Memphis team who's hitting at .255. You can't spot them 7 runs in the second inning of a 7-inning game and expect to win. Oh, by the way, we almost won both of those games because of the offense. We tied that UNO game up at 9 in the 5th inning. People don't remember that. We lost the Memphis game 11-8. Despite going down 7-0 in the second inning. And, Gus, the game was a 7-inning game because it was the first of a doubleheader. There was no doubt in my mind if the game would have gone 9 innings, Tulane would have won the game because of the way we were swinging the bat as the game progressed. We just ran out of outs. But, again, you can't get those things back. You just have to keep plugging away and hope the guys on the mound just give yourself a chance.
Well, you heard the graph say that you need the RPI boost, in case you're wondering. Your LSU Fighting Tigers, 13. ECU, 12 in D1 baseball, to give you an idea. So that's why Todd says it's a pretty big weekend. They are one of the top teams in the country.
Oh, by the way, Gus, it's been a doubleheader year. This has been the worst weather year that I can ever remember when you're talking about playing weekend doubleheaders. We played 5 now.
Wow.
And from all accounts, we're going to be playing another one this weekend because it does not look good on Friday. Well, the weather that's supposed to come through here on Thursday
is going to hit
North Carolina. Right, is going to hit there on Friday. Now, the rest of the weekend looks beautiful, but I'm thinking, again, just talking to my ECU buddies, they're already planning on it.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. You know, you and I talked off the air, obviously, about Memphis not being prepped and ready for that. You guys are already at least thinking about that. 60 seconds here before we go to the break. You spoke with Travis Stewart yesterday. Is there any approach to try to do things differently to try to get to a better start on the mound?
No, I mean, the guys that are started on the weekend are going to be starting on the weekend. I mean, that's all there is to it. The game Sunday was a little bit different because it was a getaway day and it was a conference stipulation that you had to play 7 innings, one game, and 9 innings for another. If you play a doubleheader on Saturday, it's 2 9-inning games. So that's a little bit different. But no, the rotation on the weekend is not going to change, Gus. Those guys have the ability. We've seen them do it before. They just got to do it.
At NT Graphs, the way to follow him on Twitter, feel free. If the Cubs win today, to remind him they did so as well on Twitter. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it as always. Looking forward to catching up.
Yeah, host that April trophy, Gus. There you go.
That's right, man.
There it is. Raise that W.
See you later, bud.
Bye.
There he is. Ty Graffinini. He's right, Joey. It is an April trophy if they win. On that note, I'll hit the break. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in first comprehensive sports medicine program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
When the veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are they really?
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. Learn more at veteranscrisisline.net.
Day one, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day three, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day five, taking opioids.
It's not hurting my family.
Day seven, taking opioids.
It's hurting my family.
Addiction to opioids, like the painkillers Lortab and Percocet, tears families apart. So know the risks before you take them and get help now if you're currently taking them and can't stop. For help with addiction, including services covered by Medicaid, visit opioidhelpla.org.
For all of your biggest achievements in life, Mom has always been there supporting you every step of the way. This Mother's Day, show her just how much you appreciate the love with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you get ahead of the Mother's Day rush, 1-800-Flowers will give you an exclusive 36 for 36 offer. 36 sorbet roses for just $36. That's only a dollar a rose. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Stephen A. Order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com. Code Stephen A. It's with a P-H, not a V.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ah, yes. Don't forget the Christian Dawkins trial underway. That's right. Remember, this is what got all of the Will Wade situation going. Right. Hey, some pretty big Pelicans news. Andrew Lopez, TimeSpeakUNOLA.com, tweeting a little bit ago that Trent Redden in New Orleans right now, Mets with David Griffin, and let's see if he becomes the new Pelicans general manager. Not a hire for certain, as Scott Kushner's also saying, but here's the deal. Redden, that name was mentioned last week during the David Griffin announcement in the press conference. He is currently the number three guy in LA with the Clippers. And it's assumed, believed, and talked about with the people that covered the team and a lot of people that have been reporting about Trent Redden being a possible general manager. Now, we don't know the exact hierarchy, the flow chart, right? How it's going to go. Most basketball teams in the NBA have a president of basketball operations. It's David Griffin. They have a general manager under that president of basketball of operations. They have assistant general managers. Basically, they're, you know, in charge of certain divisions of the team. And it's something that this organization sorely needed. You heard David Grubb say when he was here last week, one of the things that lacked was Dell Demps didn't want that. Maybe because he wanted more power, but didn't have AGMs, didn't have a lot of different areas that overlooked and saw the day-to-day stuff. Not saying that David Griffin isn't the guy eventually that calls the shot, and it is. Remember, only reports to Gail Benson. Not Dennis Lauscha, not Mickey Loomis. Gail Benson. final say, final shot goes there. But you need to delegate. You need to have some people that cover some things. So general manager, day-to-day ops, right? AGMs, you could have assistant general managers in charge of scouting, assistant general manager in charge of development, player development, marketing, what have you. That would be somewhat of the structure that you would look at, that you would normally have. Like with the Saints, you have different people that are in charge of different areas, right? And wouldn't be a bad get from a lot of the reaction that you see nationally with Trent Redden. So Scott Kushner saying over the next couple of days, and later on this week he tweets, David Griffin is holding a large-scale meeting with the team's incumbent staff later this week, which should help sort out who is in and who is out. Look, it's one of the reasons this David Griffin job, or a hire, was such a slam dunk, home run, three-point bucket at the buzzer, however you want to use whatever analogy. And it's why Gale Benson had to do this and did. Because you know what? He's doing it. You needed somebody that eats, breathes, sleeps basketball, knows basketball, the works, everything. And that's what they're doing. Again, you have 50-plus years as a franchise, not as many as an ownership group, of knowing what works and what doesn't with the Saints. You just didn't with the NBA, and those people just didn't know it. That's why this hire was great. Hire someone that knows everything there is to know about the NBA. How it runs, how it operates, how it works, how it's structured, what works, what isn't structured, what doesn't work, everything. You give them the keys, you tell them, hey, let's meet every now and then, let me know what's going on, and other than that, I'll see you on game day. And that's what David Griffin's doing. It's awesome. Hour 3 coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.